Hey, welcome, friends. Thanks for joining us. This is Richard from Lost Arts Radio. We're here with Dr. Gabriel Cousins for our weekly discussion and looking at, we were talking before the show about the efforts for peace that are happening worldwide and the, being led by the U.S. new government, talking about peace and the end of war and harmony and business and prosperity and freedom for people, and actually backing up what they were talking about by getting rid of a lot of the corruption and theft in government and corporate worlds, and wondering what is the resistance, you know, there's resistance to this movement toward peace coming from the British effort to coordinate this northern group to keep war going at all costs. And how much resistance to peace is there in the global power structure and the general public? And Gabriel Cousins has some thoughts about that to share, some insights, and very relevant and valuable to what's happening now. So welcome, Gabriel. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Richard, and welcome to you, Richard, and to you, Doug, behind the scenes. Okay? I guess you call, if you're behind the scenes, you're a stage manager. That's what, I used to be a stage manager. So, in high school, not past that. So it's a really interesting question. What is the resistance to making it look so easy? Trump is going about it, and it seems like it's moving really fast of these intractable, quote, situations. So, wow. So those are kind of questions. And what we're going to start with is, what we always start with is a little bit of dance. Kind of open the heart and get us going in the right direction. So that's what we're going to do. So come join me in dancing for spiritual life. Then we'll have a little meditation. And for those who don't have experience, meditating, people usually use a mantra. The mantra we use is the name of God is grace. Yod on the in-breath, hey on the out-breath. Wah on the in-breath, hey on the out-breath. Okay, yod from the base to the heart, and then hey out to the heart. And then wah from the base to the third eye, and then hey out to the heart. Okay. And you just keep doing it until your mind's quiet. The other thing is just, at the beginning of the meditation, take a look at my eyes, focus on the energy through my eyes. It can help awaken the spiritual energy. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay, just focus on my eyes as we go into meditation and repeat the mantra. Yo. Okay. Yo. When we come out of meditation, and now we ask that question that we were raising, what is the resistance to world peace? I mean, it's thousands of years, and people just seem to need war. It's like they live off that. They get excited by it. Maybe peace isn't that exciting. I don't know. But it certainly can be. So the question is, what do people get from war? And there are many answers to that. You know, at one level, there's the human aggression. It isn't just the men. The women are behind this too. But women generally are more peaceful, you know, if you look at all the different cultures. And there's power. And in the more capitalistic world, there's money. People get a lot of it. You know, some people feel it's documented the Rockefellers were supporting the Nazis and the Americans and British. So it's like, you know, and the Rothschilds doing the same thing. So there's money, power, prestige, the ego of dominance. But I'm going to call it a lust for violence. It's somewhere deep in the human psyche. And there's a kind of need that we see in most wars, serious cruelty. And I'm not just talking about Hamas and October 7th. I mean, they were outstandingly cruel and evil. And then you look at the Nazis, and then you look at World War I, and then you look at the Civil War in the United States. People were not nice to each other. There's serious cruelty. And say, what do people get from that? So we have, as I say, there are political reasons, but there's a tendency to want to hate. And I look at the crowds today, you know, somebody like the way people are responding to all the money laundering and money theft and that's going on in the United States, and the response is to go after the people who are exposing it. The tax on Tesla vehicles. I was like, what? So, and I understand that a lot of these demonstrators are paid and they're heavily influenced. But still, the summary covers trillions of dollars worth of graft that saves your tax money. Why would you want to, you know, attack them? Now, I'm being a little simplistic, but it does come down to that. At some level, somebody comes, exposes the corruption, and gets attacked. Now, again, I understand that there's big money behind paying people to act this way, but at the same time, why would you even be interested in being part of a, you know, violent approach? And I can't speak totally about what's happening in the United States. It isn't totally clear, but it seems it's getting more violent. There's almost a push for civil war. What do people get from that? What is that going to solve? And those are the questions that come up. You know, the violence never really solves it. They may suppress something for a short time. So we can raise the question, what are people getting from this resistance to peace? And then there's Trump out there trying to change the rules and create peace. Now, life is complicated. I don't want to make it that simple, but clearly he's changing the rules and really trying to make peace. He's talking about the Middle East. He's talking about with Russia. You know, he's making an effort. Whereas before Trump, there was an effort not to make peace. Or you look at the Northern Coalition, whatever you call it, and, you know, the Northern European states. It's like, why would you want endless war? What's to be gained from that? Well, more people are going to die. How many people in Ukraine and Russia have died? Probably a million. At least a million people, depending on the statistics, but it's horrendous. And it's totally unnecessary. And so, why would that be? Now, I kind of, and this may not be the most popular assessment, but it looked like when the European Union and others broke the mixed agreement with Russia, where they wouldn't proceed any further, that was also NATO, towards Russia, and then they continued to move into the areas and finally into Ukraine, right to the Russian borders, they greatly broke the reason for that peace agreement, and you know, Russia finally, you know, responded. And but what's the point? What was in their mind that they needed to break the Minsk agreement and surround Russia? What did NATO get from it? Okay, maybe some strategic position temporarily. So I'm not really wanting to talk politics. I'm talking about what is motivating people to act in ways that undermine peace. And I am not talking about the sevenfold peace, you know, peace with your body and peace with your mind and peace with intimate relationships and family and peace with the community and peace with all the different levels of culture and peace with the ecology, peace with God. I mean, that's a more sophisticated level of peace. I'm just saying military peace, where people aren't fighting each other. It's like the bare minimum of what peace can be. So what do people get from not having it? We talked about money, we talked about power, but there's more. And as I look at it, I'm going to say that we look at who is it that doesn't want peace? Well, World Economic Forum, again, the European Union, you know, why is it that they don't want peace? I don't have a full answer, but they must be getting something from it. And we also know that the World Economic Forum and the kind of controlling powers in Europe don't want peace, and they really want to have world control. And that's a big part of the story. And so they're pushing this way is their effort to create a one world government. Okay, but that's one side of it. Another side of it is that a variety of people who know these people, these world leaders, are claiming that this is a very satanic energy. And that these people, like King Charles, was more overtly satanic, as far as we can tell. And many of the leaders in Europe for hundreds of years have participated in human sacrifice. That's all documented. And amazing cruelty, human torture, sex slavery, and so forth. Okay. So they're getting something because they're making an offering to Satan. And they almost say that. I don't want to say they say that publicly, but it's kind of there. And at some point, people have to step back and say, wait, this is not taking us where we're going. We're not interested in making an offering, a blood offering to Satan. We're interested in a peace offering to God. And there's a bifurcation point there. So these people, as some people who know them personally and have kind of moved away from that, these European leaders know and have said these people are basically paranoid psychopaths. This is not my word. This is words of a variety of people describing the mental state of these people leading these countries. And they live off that energy. And they are committed to the dark side. So what I'm telling you is maybe everyone's heard it. It's not exactly new information, is what I'm saying. It's been around for a long time. And maybe that's really what we're working against, is that their satanic energies are being fed. And so they're willing to do these things that are obviously very dark. So those are some thoughts, you know, for the group. I would love to hear questions as they're talking. And Richard, I want to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah, it's definitely a really important issue at the moment, Gabriel, because every minute that we spend away from the consciousness of peace, with war developing in all parts of the world, endangers life on the planet. And the question is, why is that happening? And I think that it's a multi-layered situation where at the top level, you've got leaders that are, well, at the very top level, you've got leaders that are not on the physical plane. They're in the lower astral regions, although they are called by various names, and they're devoted to the dark energy. And the agenda is total destruction with maximum pain and suffering, and that's where it's going. And in order to carry that out, they've got to introduce the concept to people in a way that they can get their consent and cooperation. And, you know, I see...
Interrupt for a second. The idea of consent is important. The dark side... as part of the cosmic rules, they have to get the consent of the people to actually act destructively against themselves. They actually right. have to do that.
Otherwise, it would not be able to happen. And I think the reason they can get the consent of people on different levels to participate in the conflict is the externalization of the internal frustration that people have of being out of touch with themselves. You know, it's harder to look at that than to fight an external enemy. And so if you can blame somebody on the outside, you don't have to deal with your basic conflict.
Okay.
And people fall for that. You know, there's a resistance to seeing good because they feel in conflict internally. And I see it a little bit differently because historically there's been a tendency in the teachings to separate good people from bad people, that God hates the bad people and they all have to be destroyed and the good people have to win. And it's all in the context of war. Even the old scriptures are about war and about killing bad people. And I'm saying the real understanding is that all these roles in the play are being carried out by actors who are all spirit. And the only origin is God. And the real identity of everybody, including the people sold out to evil, is beauty and spirit and infinite unconditional love. And we've lost touch with that. And that's why it's possible for even the bad people to wake up. Because they're not intrinsically bad. They're being controlled by mind programs that are an illusion. And when you remove those, all you've got is beauty and peace and harmony. And that's where we have to get back to. It's been forgotten.
Well, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but it is something that is a principle with Pharaoh, is that for the first five plagues, he had a choice to go along with, you know, his evil intent or not. He could have stopped the whole thing. It's very clear. After the fifth plague, it said that he lost his power of choice. And then he had to do the second five plagues, which ended in a disaster for Egypt. So I think what we're looking at today is something a little like that. People are having to choose. We're not innocent. We have choice. And how is it that we can get people to choose working for the light, even though they may have mixed feelings, maybe, you know, but how do we move that so the edge is towards the light? That to me is the question. Because you can get so far in the dark side, you can't get back. That's what happened to Pharaoh, but that's a general teaching. And we talk about it as the 50th gate of darkness. Israel said at the time of Pharaoh had reached the 49th gate of darkness. One more step and it was all over. And Moses reversed the process. So I think that there's a relative scale beyond which you pass that you can't get back out of. So it isn't quite as simple as, well, no matter what you've done, you just change your mind. There's something more to it. And so I'm bringing that up because that's kind of a very deep and difficult teaching to want to hear, is that some people go so far it can't really be undone.
Yeah, I'm hearing it and I'm disagreeing with it because the nature of people, no matter what bad choices they make, is infinite spirit, and that can't be destroyed. And that's coming from
I don't mean to interrupt. Where's this music coming from?
Sorry for the phone. It'll be off in a minute.
What you do?
Okay, say that again, Gabriel. I'm sorry.
I was asking where the music was coming from.
Yeah, from my phone.
I got it. Okay, see, you're more optimistic about that. I'm just looking at the way history, what I've seen in history. And people can definitely turn around. But at the 49th gate, you've reached the gates of evil. You go to the 50th, and the esoteric teaching suggests that you can't exactly turn that one around.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying. You got 49 steps. 50th is you go over the edge.
Yeah, and I'm saying you definitely go over an edge. And you set up a horrible future for yourself and go through all this suffering as a result. But in the end, the only thing permanent is the reality, not evil.
Right. I get it. And I would say I agree. They just, when I say over the edge, in esoteric terms, it means you spend a whole lot of time in purgatory.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing that happen on various
Clearing the karma. So, but I'm saying that's when you pass the 49th gate, that you have a long path to get back to the positive side.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying that ultimately you will, because there's nowhere else to go.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying there's a big price to pay, and you can turn it around.
Yes.
You may take it lifetimes, but yet completely wrong.
I think the whole system is deeply flawed, because the only reason people make the wrong choices is because their consciousness is not there. They're not in touch with who they are.
Yeah, but that's how they learn.
Right. But I'm saying, remember the quote in the Bible, and I'm sorry for the music again.
You have the option to choose your food.
The quote in the Bible that says, "Forgive them because they know not what they do."
That's what Jesus said. Yeah. It's a basically good guideline, but what if they do know what they're doing?
They don't. If they did know what they did, if they did know, they wouldn't do it.
No, that's where I disagree. I'm not talking about a mob who doesn't know what they're doing, like at the time of Jesus, okay? And I'm not even talking about the Romans sentence, because they weren't that evolved, okay? And they kind of knew they did wrong. I'm talking about a deeper thing where people actually do know they're doing evil and are making explicit choice. And there are people who do know that.
I think there's a semantics problem. Because obviously I understand what you're saying, and I'm saying something different.
I don't understand.
Intellectually, They know. The bank robber knows they're robbing a bank, right? Or whatever it is. There's no question about that. It's obvious. But what they don't know is the conflict between that and who they really are. They've totally forgotten who they really are. And on that level, they don't know. And that's the reason they're subject to making that choice.
What I'm saying is a certain amount of the bank robbers do know that it's wrong, and a certain part don't, and they may be a little ambivalent and conflicted about their actions.
But no, they know intellectually that it's wrong. That's totally not what I'm talking about.
No, I'm not saying no intellectually. They know emotionally as well, but not fully emotionally.
Yeah, if they knew completely, they couldn't do it.
Correct.
So on that level, they don't know.
Yeah. But that's the karma they created to learn that lesson.
I understand. I'm saying at the deepest level, there's no one to blame. Because
right.
if the consciousness was clear, everybody would come from the same place. So this forgive them because they know not what they do, in my opinion, applies to everybody.
So yeah. I'm gonna play with that statement, because Jesus also knew about karma, for sure. Okay.
Karma operates.
Yeah, he knew how karma operates. And so what I'm saying is, they may not know what they do, but, and the Torah, okay, has a whole straightforward system of how you get forgiven. You admit that you missed the mark, you missed it. You admit you did wrong, it's not the same thing. And you look at the pattern that took you to the place of doing wrong. There's a pattern, there's a thought for it. And then you repent from that and commit not to do that anymore. Now that's how you clear it.
Right. Okay. But to have the motivation to do that comes from somewhere else. Otherwise, they just laugh at it.
Well, I don't know. If you do something really wrong, sometimes people feel very guilty about it. And they didn't realize what they'd done before that happened.
Right. And that's a change in consciousness.
Right. And you got to do more than change consciousness. You have to repent. You have to burn up the karma of that.
Right. Well, the change in consciousness produces the will to do what's necessary.
Yeah. But you still have to do it. So, not everybody who does something like sees it. Okay? There's plenty of serial killers who may feel bad even, but they don't stop. Okay? And we have to be aware of that that's a much deeper hole that one gets stuck in.
Right. So the question is, how can consciousness change to produce the motivation for healing and peace? And I don't think that can be done by debate or discussion or intellectual force. If people are sold out to evil, there's something missing that needs to be healed. And I think that it's possible. I mean, this is the only theory, but I think it's possible to spread that like a contagious disease on a positive level.
So my one correction to that is it's not theory, it's been proven.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. We have the clues.
When people meditate together, their crime rate goes down. You know, if even 1% of a city is meditating, they are together meditating, the crime rate will drop 16%.
The part that's theory is that this could be complete.
No, well, it isn't. It's just that people aren't doing it. So Do you understand what I mean? In other words, it works. And I think we should agree that it works, but getting people to do it is what the problem is.
Right.
And that's why the Peace 21, which we did at each, which we do in each Equinox Solstice, which we did on Saturday night, and that's why we do the World Healing Meditation on Sundays at 6:15 Israel time, and let's see, 5 hours, 1:15 East Coast time. You can check all that out on my website. It works, and people can do it. And they have to be at a place where they're wanting to do that work. Because there's another side which is working for world peace. And, you know, wanting it is nice. Choosing to work for it is another step. And all those steps are being provided, which is good. So there's plenty of room for people to turn it around. This is important. That our part of our job is not just talking about peace, but creating situations like a peace meditation where you can begin to turn things around. And that's really, really important. Just kind of making that point.
Right. And that attitude spreads.
Yes. Yes, it does. And that's been proven too. I mean, we have everything on our side. We just have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just at specific times. It's every interaction you have during the day, right?
Yes. It's nice to do it one time a week at the same time to reinforce, to create a platform for that, a positive platform.
Right.
What you're saying is 100% correct. Doing it every moment of every day is what we are.
I think that's the only option that leads to the peace you're talking about. And
yes,
that can spread all across the world.
Yeah.
And there's a strong tendency of people to say, well, that's just a nice story. You know, that's a religion, or it's what we have to believe so we don't get discouraged. But making that real is another step.
Yeah, and it is real, and the data's there, and that's the beauty. It's real. It works. Over 300 studies since 1973 have shown exactly what we're talking about works. I mean, that's a lot of studies.
You know, I've heard a lot of people recently in the U.S. talking about what Trump and RFK and the others on the team are doing. And instead of appreciating the incredible efforts toward harmony and peace and world cooperation, they're picking apart imperfections in these people's character, like with RFK, and saying, well, he had problems in his marriage, you know, and I think
that's resistance to peace.
That's what you were talking about, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it, yeah. Discrediting the people who are putting their lives on the line to bring peace to the world.
Yeah, it's being proven in actual real world efforts, like RFK Jr. just recently stopped the rollout of the latest COVID vaccine, saying it wasn't safe.
Just for my own information, at one point he didn't say no, and then he just recently said no. Is that what you just said?
I said the application for the latest booster. I'm not sure if it came from Pfizer. I think it did. And he overruled the approval of it.
Okay, got it.
They lost millions of dollars of money.
Yeah, but I get it. So what you're saying is the FDA approved it, and he said no.
That's what I heard.
Very good. Very good. It wasn't like he changed his mind. The FDA approved it, and he said no.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why he was put in.
And he said all the childhood vaccine schedule would have to be proven safe, which is a big deal.
Well, if you read my book, chapter 21, it points out that none of them are safe.
That's why it's good to say that they have to be proven safe, because that means they'll all be discredited.
Correct. And that's a multi-million dollar business.
Yes. And it's beyond money.
Yeah. And so in my book, Conscious Parenting, I go through every single bioweapon injection that the kids are doing. You say, well, great. You've got a 5 to 8 times more hyperactivity and brain dysfunction. And you get this and you get that. It's like, and then 20, 30 years later, you have a higher rate of cancer as a result of getting the injections. Right. I mean, I lay it out with all the research, because you can't make any statements without good research. So my book, Conscious Parenting, it is well documented. We don't need, I mean, it's always good to have more research, but we really don't need to prove it. It's proven. So it's quite significant.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he's doing that. You know, because of course he knows that, those studies. So it's good.
Yeah. And, talking about getting the chemicals out of the food as well.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, most countries don't allow these chemicals either. So it is really happening. It's really exciting that not just the JFK thing, but you know, the corruption, the economic corruption, and all the levels of corruption they're highlighting and making an effort to turn it around. It's fantastic. It's revolutionary. So, you know, and not everybody gets it. And there's a resistance because it shifts the status quo. It shifts the convenience, you know, habits. It's like, yeah, it's saving your life, but you have to be willing for that to happen. So it's very exciting. It's really very exciting. And we'll see more about with the funding and all these different things that, you know, you have the judges doing their, the liberal judges trying to block national decisions. It's like, it's perfect, but it's a little crazy. And that's to be expected.
Yeah. It's an opportunity for a new era.
Humanity. Correct. So it's really good. You know, is it perfect? No. Will it ever be perfect? No. But it's really good because it's heading in the right direction. And I think that's the really important thing to understand. We are beginning a new era of hope and peace and health, and physical health and mental health and spiritual health, and the upliftment not only of America but all of humanity. That's in the air.
That's right.
So I'm really happy about that. Well, I guess we kind of completed it, you know. And so I just want to bless everybody that we acknowledge all the good that's taking place. Is it perfect? No. Will it ever be perfect? No. A lot of good is happening. We've turned the corner, as football saying, where we are much more empowered to take this all the way for a optimal health, spiritual health, physical health, mental health, and I'll say political health touchdown. So, thank everyone for listening and choosing to participate in uplifting all humanity, not just the United States. So thank you. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Doug, behind the scenes. I think turn it over to Richard, but May everyone be blessed.
Yeah.
The goodness that we're bringing. Very, very exciting.
I second that, Gabriel. And I think it's important for everybody to realize that the influence of one person is strong. And it doesn't depend only on numbers. It depends on focus. And with a high degree of focus on harmony and peace in your interactions and your thoughts and the emotions you carry, that increases the influence over the whole world. So value your time. It's at the end of your life, you realize it's very short. Use it well. And one last note about Gabriel's programs of spiritual fasting at drcousins.com and also the other site. What was the site?
Well, the spiritual fasting retreat is in the Dominican Republic. Right. I was not at we're doing it. Thank you for bringing it up. But and it's June 1st and 9th. It's our first live fast since the COVID. And Shanti and I are running it, and it's very good. We're very pleased about the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty exciting. You can see us. That's the place. We will literally be half a block from the beach. This is kind of the quality of place we're staying at. We will be swimming with dolphins, which are really a lot of fun. And so we're very pleased. So just go to spiritual fasting, or Dr. Cousins Spiritual Fasting, and you'll get the whole layout.
Exactly.
So I hope to see you all there.
The physical beauty of the environment there is a reminder of what the harmony between people could be like. You know, spiritual beauty is what's missing to complete the picture. And whoever you are, you have a massive influence. So use your time well. Be harmony and peace and watch what happens. It comes back to you. So thanks for being here. Have a great week. And I hope everything goes well for you. Take care.
Blessings.